In Jambudvip, there are 9 divisions of land, each with a length of 9,000 yojana, 70,000 2 miles. There are 8 mountains that mark the boundaries of these divisions and separate them nicely. Purport of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the following quotation from the Vajupurana, wherein the locations of the various mountains, beginning with the Himalayas, are described. Daruna samchite gene dvevashe dakshinotare dirhani tatra chatvari chaturashram ilavritam iti dakshinotare baratotara kuruvarshe chatvari kimpursha harivarsha ramjaka hiranyamaji varshani nilanishodayos Tirashchini Bhuja Samudra Pavishtajo Samlagna Tvam Agikriya Badrashva Ketu Malajo Rappi Dannura Kriti Tvam Attashtayor Dai Grihaja Eva Majje Sankuchita Tvena Nava Sahashraya Matvam Il Avratamashya Tu Merok Sakashat Chatur Diksho Nava Sahashraya Matvam Sambhavet Vastuta Stri Ilamrita Badrashva Ketumalanam Chatush Trimshata Sahastashraya Matvam Jinit Yam. Then text number 7. Esha Madhye Ilabritam Namma Bhatyatara Varsham Yasya Nabhyam Avashitak Satvaranak Samanakula Giri Raja Meru Dvipa Maji Dvipa Jama Samunashana Karmika Bhuta Kuvalaya Kamashya Mudani Dvatrishat Saharajo Yojana Vitato Mule Sodasha Sahashram Tavat Antvarbhum Bamyadam Pravishya. Translation. Amidst these divisions, or Varshas, is the Varsha named Ilavrita, which is situated in the middle of the world of the lotus. Within Ilavrita Varsha is Sumeri Mountain, which is made of gold. Sumeri Mountain is like a pericarp in the lotus-like Bhumandala planetary system. The mountain's high is the same as the width of Jambudvip, or in other words, 100,000 yojanas or 800,000 miles. Of that, 16,000 yojanas, 128 miles, are within the earth, and therefore the mountain's high above the earth is 84,000 yojanas or 672,000 miles. The mountain's width is 32,000 yojanas or 256 miles, and its summit and 60,000 yojanas and its base. Text number 8. Uttarottarene lavritam nilak svetak shingavan iti trajo ramyaka hiranmaya kurunam varshanam majada giraya prag ajata ubayata kashradva dajo dvishahashra prittava ekaikasha purvashmant Purvashmad uttara uttaro dashamasha dikshmenam daidaka eva hrashanti. Translation. Just north of Ilavrita Varsha and going further northward, one after another, are 3 mountains named Nila, Shveta and Shringavan. This marks the borders of 3 Varshas named Ramjaka, Hiranmaya and Kuru, and separate them from one another. The width of this mountain is 2,000 yojanas or 16,000 miles. Lengthwise, they extend east and west to the beaches of the ocean of salt water. Going from south to north, the length of each mountain is 1/10 that of the previous mountain, but the height of them all is the same. Purport. In this regard, Madhvacharya quotes the following verse from the Brahmananda Purana. Jatta Bhagavate Tuktam Bhuvanam Kosha Lakshanam Tasya Rayav Jato Yogjam Anyo Grantadhare Shritam. Mandade puranam chaiva vyachayam kshira sagare rahusoma rashvitam cha mandaladvi inokitam vinayva sarva unejam yogana vedato tratu. It appears that from these verses that aside from the sun and moon, there is an invisible planet called Rahu. The movement of Rahu causes both solar and lunar eclipses. We suggest that the modern expeditions attempting to reach the moon are mistakenly going to Rahu. Text number 9. Eva dakshine lavritam nishado himakuto himalaya iti prak ajajata jata niladajo juta yojato sheda harivasya kim kurusha baratanam nyacha sakricham. Translation. Similarly, south of Lilavrita Varsha and extending from east to west are three great mountains named from north to south, Nishada, Shemakuta, and Himalaya. Each of them is 10,000 yojanas or 80,000 miles high. They mark the boundaries of the three Varshas named Harivarsha, Kimpurusha Varsha, and Bharata Varsha or India. And text number 10. Tataiva lavritam aparena purvena cha malyabad granhamadvana vanirlanisha dajato dvishakashyam paparad bahu ketumala badrashvayak shimanam vidajate. Translation. In the same way, west and east of Lavrita Varsha are two great mountains named Malyaman and Gandhamandana, respectively, the two mountains which are 2,000 yojanas or 16,000 miles high extend as far as Nila Mountain in the north and Nila Shada in the south. They indicate the borders of Lavrita Varsha and also the Varshas known as Ketumala and Badrashva. Purport. There are so many mountains even on this planet Earth. We don't think that the measurements of them, of all of them, have actually been calculated. While passing over the mountainous region from Mexico to Caracas, we actually saw so many mountains that we doubt whether their height, land and width have been properly measured. Therefore, as indicated in Srimad Bhagavatam by Shukadev Goswami, we should not try to comprehend the greater mountainous area of the universe merely by our calculation. Shukadev Goswami has already stated that such calculation would be very difficult even if one had a duration of life like that of Brahma. We should simply be satisfied with the statements of authorities like Shukadev Goswami and appreciate how the entire cosmic manifestation has been made possible by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. The measurements given herein, such as 10,000 yojanas or 100,000 yojanas, should be considered correct because they had been given by Shukadev Goswami. Our experimental knowledge can neither verify nor dispose the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. We should simply hear the statements from the authorities if we can appreciate the extensive energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that will benefit us. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashta Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Goravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadatara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I'm sorry for coming a little bit late. Something really, really important came out, so I tried to give my best to come as soon as possible. So, regarding those verses, they're basically very, very, very important. All those informations, which in the first time when you read, I remember when I read Srimad Bhagavatam for the first time, when I come to nice, simple stories about Krishna, about, you know, wonderful pastimes, it's so sweet, it's so great. But then I reach numbers And they're like huge numbers and huge, and it was like, wow, it's too much for my small mind. So the question raises, why Maharaj Parikshit really desperately wanted to know all these numbers? Why he was asking Shukadeva Goswami again and again, please tell me about universal form of the Lord. Please tell me what is, tell me more details. Tell me, I want to know everything. I want to know all. What is different between me, who didn't want to know anything, and Shukadev and Maharaj Parikshit, who is really example how we all supposed to behave? It's because he got advice of his spiritual master Shukadev Goswami to meditate on universal form of the Lord. Why? Because when the mind is supreme, it is fixed upon Supreme Personality of the Godhead, then in one particular form, in his external form, external material form made of three modes of nature, mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance, that means satya, raja and tamaguna. And beyond that, that means after that we fix our attention on Vishnu or Vasudev, then we can start controlling our mind really. We can attain the right path. We can go beyond, above material energy. Once we understand it, through meditation and through mercy of the Lord, we can go beyond. That means we can go towards the spiritual world. So it's not that everybody should study all this. It's very good. But we cannot understand anything without mercy of the Supreme Lord. So basically the simple explanation in those five verses is that whole material manifestation looks like a lotus flower with all petals and everything else. And first there is separation of eight islands. The most important island is in the middle. Do you remember the name of the island? Who remembers the name? Yes. So, in that island, there are another more separations. And there are mountains between. Do you remember how many mountains? Eight mountains. And how many islands? Nine islands. First seven, then inside nine. It will sound familiar? Nowadays, but it's different. So there are nine islands, and in the middle of that there is the island surrounded by mountain. Which mountain? The golden mountain named Summer. So it's not easy to understand, but it's very, very, very beautiful and great for meditation. Then on one of those islands there is a Bhuloka or Bhugoloka. That means the planet where we reside. There is also the Bharatavarsha there. They translate India here, but also Bharatavarsha, we count the whole planet Earth. And Himalayan range, which is much, much bigger than how much we can perceive with our imperfection senses. And we are somewhere little, small, almost nothing in the middle of that. But for us, for our perception, we are big, and this is only what we can see, and it's very important. And then to understand that better, that's why we need this greater perception. So Shukadev Goswami recommend Maharaj Parikshit to think about that, especially meditation on the universal form of Krishna are meant for two kinds of people. One kind of people are scientists, you know, people who really want to know the answers. For them, it's not just enough to tell them, believe and chant the holy name. He will ask you, why? You give next answer, he asks next question, why? So, you know, usually for people who has many questions in their heads, it's very nice that Srimad Bhagavatam is offering all scientific explanations about it. Or for kings. for those who also have intelligence and who believe that they are big and powerful. Once you show them how insignificant they are they controlling the small piece of the little bit bigger piece of the little bit bigger piece of the little bit bigger piece of some lotus flower, and that lotus flower is very small comparing with his creator, then they figure out how small they are, and therefore ego starts shrinking slowly. So for certain people who are the God, for certain devotees who are the God simplicity in the previous lives by different austerities, it's enough to chant the holy name, to read, and to, you know, to focus on Shravanam Kirtanam basically. But for those whose minds are still full of questions or different, you know, big false egos, it's excellent meditation to meditate on the universal form of the Lord. That's why, you know, I remember one time I was teaching in the Smiths. I was the math teacher, and then our kids they're very smart, you know, they're super intelligent. You know, they can ask you questions that is beyond our perception. So they asked me, please, can you explain to us how it's happened that in Srimad Bhagavatam it's written that actually the sun is closer than moon? And we all can see that moon is actually closer than sun? But don't tell us, just believe and don't worry. Explain to us. Then I was like, okay, that's interesting. So you don't want trigonometry anymore? They said, no, we want this. I said, nice. Then, you know, we discuss, and then actually we come up with very interesting explanation that actually on Brahma Loka, there are not only three planets, three dimensions, right? There's 27. Starting with dimension one, that one dimension, it's only dot, it's only point, right? So everything is situated there. From that point of view, moon and sun are equally distant from the planet Earth. Going in two dimensions, when we do projection towards sun and towards Earth, I mean, on putting, you know, basically on a piece of paper, in that case, when you put moon down, you put the sun down, you put Earth down, the moon is more far away from the Earth than sun, considering the North Pole, the North Star. Then going in three dimensions, it's true, sun is a little bit more far away. But then we have dimension number four, dimension number five, number six. So I told them, there is at least 50% of chances that whatever is written in Srimad Bhagavatam is driven from material point of view. If we check things from 27 dimensions, there is at least 50% of chances that actually the sun is closer than moon to the planet Earth. Now it's only up to us to believe that, because we don't have that perception to understand and to see. We can just believe. And Srila Prabhupada here Volme is telling that we have to believe. For that which we don't understand, we have to believe. If we doubt, then we're going to have later problems. So it's not blindly to believe, but actually sometimes it's good to believe what you don't understand. Like a child trying to touch electricity. You said, please don't touch it, it's dangerous. Child is asking you, why? How to explain? Because there is electricity and you will get electric shock and all these things. You think the small 3-year-old child would understand? You said, because I said so, right? That's the easiest way to do it. Or you try to explain, but the child is kind of, okay, I will not touch it anyway, don't worry, it's fine. So this is the nature of this world, that it's much bigger, that it's much beyond our perception. But of course, you know, everything is meant here, and everything is made of three modes of nature. And actually, whatever is moved by those three modes. And a lot depends on us. I mean, all our life, everything what is happening now depends only of us. Of our karmic reactions from the previous life, of our present activities, of our desires for the future. Everything depends on us. It's like a boomerang. Whatever you wish is coming back to you. It's very simple. Or whatever you're afraid, again it's coming back. Same thing. So, what is our goal is to come on the platform of the goodness. Of mode of goodness. This is only way how we can go beyond this lotus, how we can go beyond of material world, and how we can enter the spiritual platform. Physically, our body still can be here, but mentally, in the mind, in the heart, we can already reach the spiritual platform just following few simple steps. It's actually a very simple process. Bhakti is very, very, very simple process. So, there is one book which is always, it's helping me all the time. And I'm going back on that book again and then this is Vaishnava K. This is the poem made by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's very sweet, it's very easy to understand, it's very beautiful, and His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj, he give his explanations, he give his comments, further comments on that, and we compile one small nice book named Vaishnava K. It's all over the place, you can find it. It's really nectar, it's pure nectar. It's all about us. It's all about how to control the mind. The beginning of the book starts. The book starts with what is our mind, what is the perception of our mind, how mind is completely absorbed in, you know, accumulating wealth, in accumulating extra things which are not necessary in our life, how it's very hard to control mind, and slowly, slowly, how you're going through the book. On the end, there is a very nice recipe how we can overcome that stage, how we can go beyond it. So in one verse, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned that the biggest disease of material world is actually that those who are accumulating wealth is accumulating much more than they need, and they don't offer it to the Lord. This is what creates material attachment. This is what creates material desires. I will repeat one more time. Whoever accumulates different wealths, and that means all who has desires and doing something to fulfill those desires. In other words, all who are not Buddhists basically, because we all have activities around, we all doing different things. If we accumulate more than what we need to keep together, you know, our soul and body, and doing it for ourselves, it's a dangerous if we are not offering that to the Lord. That creates material desires, that creates obstacles on our path, on the traveling. Jayapataka Maharaj further explained in that purport, he's telling, when a living being attempts to enjoy separately from the Lord, he enters Maya's web. It's beautiful, it's amazing. You know, he compares our material existence, that when we go deeper into this, our poor attempt to enjoy, he compares like going into web. You know, like spider web, sticky, it's made to kill, it's made to catch the fly. You're flying, you enter the web, you cannot move anymore. You're trying more, you're more into illusion. You're more there. You're trying to go out, no chance. You're a victim of Maya. We are victim of Maya. We are catched. It's finished. But then further in the purport, he explains and he gives one wonderful thing. He's telling that in the case of devotees, if we follow regulations, he doesn't say here that we should not accumulate wealth if Krishna is giving to us. He's telling we should use it properly. We should channel it to the Lord. We should not keep it for ourselves. In that case, we are like a small baby spider. What small baby spider is doing? She can freely walk to the spider net without any danger that it's going to be cut, because he has the protection on the legs and freely can go even onto the spider net and nothing will happen. For me that was amazing. When I read that, it was like, wow, it's really unbelievable. What is the big difference, you know, between being in the proper attitude and being in the wrong attitude, in the proper mood and in the wrong mood? doing the right and wrong. It's very small border between it, but it's very big difference about effect after that. So he further mentioned one interesting thing for us who reside in Mayapur, that devotee is linked with Madhava, the killer of demon Madhu. He has a special benefit. And killing the demon Madhu is very important for us, not just because of demon Madhu, but because actually the demon Madhu represents what? Demon Madhu represents all attachments, all material desires in our heart. So by killing the demon Madhu, actually, we are killing all our attachments and desires in the heart. And that's why we have to pray to Lord Madhava when we stand in front of him on the proper way. Oh, killer of demon Madhu, please help me. Please kill all attachments, material attachments in my heart, and put inside the pure love towards you. Then there is also Srimati Radharani. Oh dear Srimati Radharani, you mercifully, help Krishna to show up in this Kali Yuga in his most merciful form as a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to show us what is beyond that material lust and suffering and desires. That's a pure love for the Lord. Please help me. Please convince your dear Lord Madhava to help me to take out all my impure desires and to put pure love towards him, that I am able to attain the perfection in this life. Srila Prabhupada, he put the perfect scenario for us, the perfect deities. Everywhere, in all ISKCON centers and about around the world, that deities exactly meant to be there. It's not accident that Madhava is exactly here, that Shyama Sundara is in Vrindavan. It's not. It's all with purpose, because Srila Prabhupada was on the pure spiritual platform. He always knew what he's doing. He always knew. He didn't explain all the time. He was trying to explain to us, but for us it was very hard to understand. You know, even after 50 years, 60 years of service, it's still hard, because Prabhupada is on a very high level. But we have to follow. We have to believe. We have to follow. And we have to understand as much as we can. For me, that was the big revelation. You know, when I heard that, okay, I should pray to Madhava actually to free my heart from material desires. It's amazing. It's really good that he's in Mayapur right now, actually. It will help all of us. Oh, yes. So, considering material desires, there is one interesting story from Srila Prabhupada that we don't have too serious class today. Story about ice cream. You know, Mukunda Goswami, he mentioned this story in 2007. He was giving lecture and he was telling, do you know the ice cream story? Everybody said no. He said, okay. So Srila Prabhupada was sitting in the room with Vishwanath Prabhu and with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Goswami. So something was going on the street. There was some jingling, jing, 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 jing. Somebody was going around and Srila Prabhupada was asking, what is that? And then Vishwanath Maharaj, he was already Maharaj in that time, yes, sorry. He said, that's Srila Prabhupada ice cream truck. He's asking, ice cream truck? He said, yes. And then Srila Prabhupada said, oh, ice cream, you're taking ice cream, right? Who? And then Vishnu Maharaj said, no, they're just going up and down on the street. And then Srila Prabhupada said, they're trying to canvass him? And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj, yes. You know, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know, he immediately give perfect explanation. And then Srila Prabhupada said, don't take ice cream. The music was still going on, the jiggling around. And he said, this is Maya. And everybody was watching, come on, ice cream. It's kind of hard. And then he said, this is how ice cream is attracting. Come on. Come on, enjoy me. And then, you know, everybody started laughing and they understood the message. I mean, I know that we have ice cream all over the place here, and I'm not against people who are taking ice cream, don't take it wrong. The point is that Srila Prabhupada mentioned that we should be very careful how much we are offering to our mind. We should not just offer mind only material things just to keep him peaceful and happy. That's not enough. We should try to offer mind at least equally spiritual activities in this particular place, in the holy place, even much more, because we have a chance to do that. So we have friendship. We don't need to have friendship with some karmis, my neighbors around, because all my neighbors are devotees. We can do some service. We don't need to go in some karmic company to work hard for $2,000 per month, because we have some services here which are maybe cheaper. They don't pay that much, but benefit is 100,000 times more than if you go in some factory to work. We don't need so much expenses to come to visit the holy place, because it's all around us all the time, and that's perfection. You know, many times, you know, I'm talking with my wife, oh, look at this building, that, this and that. But then, you know, then I climb on the balcony and I see, wow, I'm just 300-400 meters from yoga pit. And it's my house. I was like, wow, that's amazing. It's unbelievable. It's such a chance. It's so fortunate. You know, we are so fortunate here. We should pray for all other people to have chance sometime to come to visit us at least. This should be, you know, we should function like a family, like a close family. That's the right mood in the Holy Dhamma. So, there is one lesson I learned yesterday. I went with Sankarsha Itai Prabhu and Ramanipati Prabhu to Ekachakra. We have a new temple there, it's unfinished, we have to finish the temple, we have to make the architectural design, so Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj asked us to go there to check everything. We went early morning. So after one and a half hour, two hours, maybe a little bit more, we was going through one place, which I read, the name is Barakpur. You know, devotees here, in general, Bengali language has some similar pronunciation for different words. So I heard this is Barampur, and I know that the city named Barampur is close to Calcutta. It's just 1 hour from Calcutta, and we was actually going opposite. When we come on the highway, we was going towards Siliguri, not towards Calcutta, in completely opposite direction when you're going to Kachakra. And then I asked Sankarsha Itai Prabhu, I asked, okay, is it Barampur? He said, yes. I said, okay, I don't understand one thing. We went in completely opposite direction, and we came just 1 hour from Calcutta. Again, 2 hours, that means we are 3 hours journey to Calcutta. How is it possible? He said, what do you think? I don't understand. Well, I said, as I understood, Barakpur is close to Calcutta. Then he started laughing, and devotee Brahmachari from the back seat, he also started laughing. He said, there is Barakpur and there is Barampur. Two different cities, not same. It's different. It's very close, it's very similar, but it's completely different. It's completely two sides, two different sides. So when I was reading about these verses, about this chapter in general, you know, I was thinking that actually Prabhupada wants us, Shukadeva Goswami wants us to put mind away from material enjoyments, even from the ice cream. For karmis, they call it prison. You know why they're putting people in the prison? To correct themselves, not to be dangerous for other people, but also to put them separate from material enjoyments so they can break their false ego and to make them the proper member of society. So in the prison you don't have all these benefits, you can go freely to buy something in the supermarket or something like that. No, what they give you, that's it. It's austerity. And devotees has to do it voluntarily. It's a suffering. But it's not actually. This is only way. What is for karmic suffering for devotees is actually enjoyment, because this is how we make mind empty. This is how we make mind empty and ready to receive the higher benefits, the higher enjoyment. And once we taste that higher enjoyment, you know, you have to empty the bucket to put something else inside. It's not possible if the bucket is full. You cannot put anything inside. If our mind is full of different things, you cannot put anything more. There is a limit to the mind. So we have to empty it and then to put the proper things inside. Sometimes even to wash it nicely. Then once we put proper things inside, we have to wait, and slowly, slowly, slowly the benefit is come. In the mode of goodness. And what is mode of goodness? Mode of goodness is not like somebody get on lottery $1 million, wow, overnight. We all had sometimes those desires. Okay, you can imagine I just buy a ticket, a piece of paper, and tomorrow I'm the rich guy. Wow, I don't need to work for the rest of my life. Beautiful feeling. But that's mode of passion, completely. I mean, also ignorance. When you compare how much is person that you're really going to get that million, it's incomparable. It's better to believe in those numbers, to Srimad Bhagavatam. They're more realistic. But the point is, once you start getting taste, it never comes down. It starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then in one moment, we come to the level of Bhava and Krishna Prem. There is no going back anymore. Where everything is the pure devotional service for the Lord, and where we don't need ice cream anymore or anything else. Whatever we do for the pleasure of Krishna, of the Lord. Whatever we think for His benefit. Whatever we do for His benefit. In the next verse in Vaishnava Keji, Srila Jayapataka Maharaj mentioned, you have to think about something. Either you think about the Lord, or for men particularly, you think about women, or for ladies opposite. There is no way that you don't think about anything, especially not in Kali Yuga. No chance. So it's our choice in what we're going to believe, in what we're going to think. Many things that scientists mention also, we have to believe in it because we don't know. Who was here on the moon? Is there anybody who visited the moon from this room? I don't know if there is anybody in whole India who visited the moon, right? Is there somebody from India who visited the moon? I don't know these things. I mean, only a few people basically, according to scientists. Srila Prabhupada mentioned here, according to our beliefs, we don't think they visit the moon really. So now how we should know this? You know, we can just believe in one side or another. Even people who is not in Krishna conscious movement, you know, they can just believe what is told to them. But obviously, since they get so much fear and they never go back again there, I also believe they went to Rahu. Because whoever went there, he had a huge fear, obviously. So when is darshan exactly? 8 o'clock or 8 o'clock? Okay. Thank you very much for coming today. Please forgive me one more time for coming a little bit late. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Go Premanande, Hari Hari Bol, Hare Krishna.